Hello and welcome to episode 41 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown and I am joined by my brother, Curtis Sorensen. What we're going to be doing today is we are going to be the Adepticus Minor episode because we had the second best tournament happening over the weekend and unfortunately it was not in Schaumburg, Illinois. So Curtis and I are going to be talking about a small tournament that we had in Utah, giving some thoughts on it. Before we do, I just want to do a few intro items. So first off, Adepticon was an awesome tournament. I think they had 53 players in the Swiss tournament. We're going to be doing an episode actually with the podcast Chatterpoint next week talking about Adepticon. So I don't want to go too deep into it. I'll just say that it looked like a pretty solid meta. The top eight was very interesting in terms of some of the spoiler lists that made it in. Dooku and Mama T did very well in the top eight. The winner was Matthew Boucher. I don't know how to say your last name, Matt. It's like B-U-C-H-E-R. Butcher, Boucher, whatever. Boucher. Matt is from Arizona, and I think he's with either... I know he's somehow involved with either the Hello There podcast or the Moment of Struggle podcast. I'm not totally positive, but he ran Mama Dooku in all three of his top eight matches, and he was the champion. Really, really awesome list. I mean, Dooku was everywhere, and Mama T was everywhere in the top eight, but Ahsoka made it in. She was in two lists. A full Republic list made it in. Michael Stokes. He was out in the first round of the top eight, but still, that's very, very awesome. So we'll be going through everything more in detail in another episode. I just want to say it looked like a very good tournament. Amon, who we love from the Hello There podcast, made top eight. He won his first round and then got knocked out in the quarterfinals. He was running Maul, Vader 1, Dooku, Mama T. I should say Matthew Butcher, Boucher. I'm just going to call him Matt. Matt B. was running Cad, Dooku, Maul, and Mama T. So very, very cool. Tons of cool lists. If you are looking for list ideas, there's a lot of cool ones in there. One player who I really want to call is Duncan. He goes by Godliness. He was running Grand Inquisitor, Maul, Vader, and Luke. And so, and I'm actually just going to read out the whole list because it's a very cool list. So it was Inquisitor, Jango Fett, Fifth Brother, which is not the pair I would have thought, or the trio I would have thought. Luke, Stormtrooper Sergeant, Bounty Hunters, which means that the next time I run Luke, I'm going to be running him with the Stormtroopers. Vader 1, Barriss, Arfs, Maul, Obi-2, Fourth Sister. So lots of diceless displacement, very interesting list, and he obviously had the reps in order to maximize his efficiency, but very, very cool list. And we want to congratulate everyone who made the top eight, want to congratulate Matt B., and just say that it looks like it was a really, really cool tournament. Was there anything that stuck out to you, Curtis, from the Adepticon tournament?
I just thought there was a crazy amount of variety in all of the lists. Like, every single primary got taken. Anakin had quite a few people show up with it.
Yep.
But
yes,
there really was a really big difference of all of the lists too, which kind of caught me by surprise when I saw that.
Yeah, like an Asajj made it to the top table. Well, okay, I shouldn't say it like that. So Dean, who is Iceman, his list was Asajj, Dooku, Grievous, and Mama T, but he only played Dooku. Oh no, that's not true. He did play Asajj, Grievous, I think, on the top table, but he lost, and I don't know what he played in his other top eight matches. But Asajj made it into the top eight, which is super, super awesome. I think that what I got from this, what's super weird is that Mama T is in 5 of the top eight lists, and she had a pretty poor win rate, but obviously she did really well, and I think that's mostly a matter of Mama T is hard to play, and I know that I've played her a few times, but I have played her less than 10 times, and I will say that I have not yet learned how to maximize her efficiency, but watching, you know, seeing this makes me definitely want to give her a try. But Maul, Dooku, they were the preeminent primaries. I mean, they just did very, very well. They're in the top eight. They were in a lot. I mean, I think that Dooku was probably the most played in the top eight. And so, I mean,
oh, yeah.
No, doesn't surprise me at all. No surprises there. Okay, so Depthcon, great. We'll talk about that in a future episode. We're not going to go into this in too much detail. I just want to say on the Slack, we've got a thread discussing the things that were spoiled. And woo boy, okay, so obviously, I love Shatterpoint. It's a great game. And we've got great content. Like, we could play with the content we have for a while. We are going to get so much amazing, absolutely amazing content here in the next few months. So they spoiled a lot of Spectre Cell. They didn't spoil Thrawn, which is, although we're promised that Thrawn is going to have some kind of new mechanic. We did see a squad pack. I think he's with, what's his name, Agent Callus and some ISB agents. And so I just want to quickly highlight, so we've got a spoiler for Zeb. It looks like he's going to be a beefy boy. We don't have stance cards, though, which is very important. Zeb was spoiled. Sabine was spoiled, who looks like she's going to be a lot of fun. There's a new mission pack that was spoiled. Chopper got spoiled. Chopper is, he's a supporting character, right, Curtis?
Yes. Yeah. Chopper and Sabine are both one unit.
Oh, I didn't realize Sabine was also a supporting character. Well, Chopper's super interesting. I guess that makes sense. Chopper's super interesting because he does not have tiebreak control. And he's a single unit support, which doesn't seem super awesome. But his abilities are just wild. And he's got, in terms of, they are very disruptive. And he has protection, immunity to pin, and immunity to disarm. So, I don't know. And he's got Lando and Bartu's ability, which is he can't be shot with ranged attacks while he is in the order deck. So Chopper looks like he's going to be super disruptive. Iden looks so awesome. Iden Versio was her unit card was spoiled. And my heck, she looks awesome. I mean, Iden's a character that I really like from Star Wars. And it was really, I like the books that she's been in. I loved playing her in Destiny. And man, oh, life, she looks like she's going to be very, very good, along with her supports that are going to be able to deploy at range 3 of her. And we actually, this just came up on the Slack, with them deploying at range 3 of her, they will not be able to contest the midline from deployment on sabotage or shifting priorities, but they are going to be able to contest those slightly closer objectives on the new mission pack that's going to be coming out. So that's going to be interesting. Chewie was spoiled. Chewie is a secondary with 12 health and just some wild abilities. Chewie and Han are, I am absolutely going to be playing these guys because they have a really cool skill set that really complements each other. Chewie is obviously super tanky and has this a guardian ability and the ability to, so he has intimidating presence. While this unit is not wounded, allied Rebel Alliance characters within 2 add 1 expertise to their defense rolls, which is so awesome. And the cool thing about this is that, so if any of you played Imperial Assault, there was this list called the Box. So there was originally this list called the Smuggler's Box, and there was a list just called the Box. And the idea was what you would do is you would pair with the Smuggler's Box, you would pair Chewie with Han, and they'd be right next to each other, or 3PO with Han or something like that. And the reason why was it would create this very tight defensive point that was very tough to deal with. And it looks like they're going to be doing that because Han has got just unlimited ability to shoot back at his opponent. Han's going to be just an absolute beast. We'll have to obviously see what his stance card looks like. But I think Han's going to be very, very good. And I am super excited for that. Kanan Jarrus. I'm not more excited for Kanan than I am for Han, but I am equally excited for Kanan Jarrus, who honestly looks like he's going to be the Rebels Mama T. Super strong character. His identity is, now I know there's something stronger than fear, which is Ahsoka's ability, but better, because it says when an allied Rebel Alliance unit is wounded by an enemy attack, after the effect is resolved, one character in this unit may heal 2 and then jump. Then if the wounded unit is a Spectre, one character in this unit may make a 5 dice attack. So obviously it's, you know, you're wanting to run him with the Spectres, but just a very, very strong ability. Looks super, super cool. So lots of amazing things coming out. Is there anything that you want to call out from that, Curtis?
Absolutely. The number one thing that I am most excited for about those spoilers mm-hmm. is the fact that we have something that's not a squad pack. They actually have a unit pack that will be coming out.
Yes.
So that we can get supplementary secondaries and supports without necessarily having to have a primary associated with them. So that
Yes.
makes me super excited that one day we'll get some more battle droids without necessarily needing a new separatist leader to come out.
Oh, good call. That's a great point. So what Curtis is referencing is we don't need their scum unit pack. And what it is it's the four bounty hunters. It's Dengar, Bossk, IG-88, and our boy Boba Fett. And it is, they're all secondary characters, which is so awesome. Such a cool and unique design idea in terms of just being able to splash these guys out. So we'll see what eras they are with. I mean, well, we'll see what eras they're with and how they can fit in, but it looks like it's going to be really, really fun. That was a great call out, Curtis.
Yeah, I'm just really happy about the concept in general that they're not locking Amen. Themselves into only doing squad packs. So
Amen.
I think that'll be great.
I agree. It will add flexibility. And I honestly think, well, I'll actually talk about this later. Okay, so that's a great point. Okay, so for upcoming events, if you're in Utah, these are both Utah events. Sorry about that, guys, but I'm in Utah. So Abby Hansen, who was one of my opponents and is awesome, she is hosting a tournament at Mythos Games in Salt Lake County. So it's going to be the end of the month in April. I think it's April 27th is, I hope I am correct when I say
that. Right.
Yeah, I think it's April 27th. And it's going to be just an awesome, I think it's going to be just a showdown format tournament, but, you know, three or four rounds, good tournament. Mythos Games, South Salt Lake, we want to definitely encourage the scene there. So we'll have more details on the Slack, but we really encourage if you're in Utah, especially if you're in Utah County, it seems like it's going to be a really good event to get to a tournament without having to travel too far. And then last but not least, we have the Zi-Fi Invitational. It's happening May 18th. Now, here's the deal. So we hit capacity. We were originally saying we were at 24, and that was our capacity. We hit that last week, and I've had a few people message me. So what we decided to do is we're increasing the capacity to 32. We are going to order some additional tokens so that we can have tokens for everybody. We've got enough alt arts. We'll have enough tokens and alt arts for everybody. But 32 is just the max we can do. I don't know that we'll hit it, but that will also give us the chance to maybe get some stragglers if we want. But we have zero. We cannot have any more capacity than that. The store does not have the physical space for it. So if you are wanting to come, you would be very wise to sign up on Longshanks. You don't have to pay to register yet. You'll just have to pay day of. But I would strongly encourage you that if you're wanting to go, to sign up. Don't sign up if you're not intending to go. I mean, if you're doing it as a placeholder, I would discourage you from doing that unless you are very likely to come, because I don't want you to hold a spot for somebody who is wanting to come. But we're not going to have a wait list or anything like that. 32 is the max that we're going to be able to do. And again, it's going to be very, very awesome. We've got the tokens are being created. Scott is painting the alt art, the alt sculpts for the first place, and then the random draw. And then we've got our alt arts, which are freaking amazing. Okay. That's the intro. Curtis, let's talk about this tournament that we had. So it was the Last Jedi tournament, was the name of the tournament. It happened at Demolition Games in Salt Lake City. It was run by Joe and Tiffany with Patrick helping with terrain. It was an awesome event. We had 11 players. Patrick didn't play. Patrick was there. I thought he was going to be number 12, but instead, he was there just to help with terrain and kind of help Tio, so just help the event run more smoothly. It's a really, really good event, though. I mean, 11 players is a great turnout, especially because Curtis and I were the only brothers from northern Utah that were able to come. Scott, JK, Matt, Robert, Aaron, none of those guys were able to make it. So with that being the case, I mean, it was a great tournament. Justin Chavez. Bunch of slackers, yeah. Jerks. Hate those guys. So Justin, Justin is our, I would say, he's our best local player. He won the tournament. He went 4-0. We had 3 3-1s, me, Taylor, and Pierce. We had a few 2-2s, 4 2-2s, which included Curtis. And we only had one player. Hunter went winless, but he got some kind of awesome swag or something, some kind of awesome giveaway prize from Joe, who again had amazing prize support. I was so impressed with what they were able to put together. Justin's winning list was,
they did an amazing job.
So good. So Justin's list was very awesome. It was Maul, Mama T, but it's not what, well, maybe you're expecting at least some of this. So it's Maul, Jango, Fifth Brother, Mama T, Obi-2, and Bounty Hunters. And the reason why, so Justin, when we were talking about this, he's got four sets of Diceless Displacement. Now, you're thinking, okay, that is going to be super crazy on your force economy, which is true. And what Justin said was the idea is you never spend force except for diceless displacement. And then once you start spending the force, you're going to burn through it really fast, right? He's only using it for diceless displacement. And I mean, obviously, Justin's a very, very strong player. It's a very cool list. And you've got OB2 in there with Mama T in order to really complicate your opponent's decision-making with respect to attacks. I thought it's a very, very cool list. You know, he's not running Dooku, he's not running Vader. And so it was very cool to see how he was able to, you know, build this list in a way. Bounty Hunters is super interesting. Justin swears by him. I'm not a fan. I don't know why. I just have not really liked the Bounty Hunters, but Justin says they're super good. And he was Curtis's opponent. So we'll talk more about how his list played as we're going on. But first off, Curtis, tell us what list you were running.
I ran Dooku Box, because Dooku.
Yep.
And then we took Vader, OB2, and R2-D2.
Yes. I love this list. I love this list. So why did you, I mean, why not ARFs?
I mean, I really only had Vader would be the only person getting a coordinated fire off of it. Yeah. And giving R2 Vader dice can just be very, very deadly.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'll bite you, but it has very, very high ceiling potential.
Especially because Bar2 has got access to tons of heals on their tree. So what you're really trying to do is their shove is on step two, and that's really what you're going for, right? If you're rolling all those extra dice, you're going for that shove on step two. You've got a pin on step three, and then you've got a disarm on step four if that's how you want to do it. But you really want to just make their dice more consistent. You can element of surprise as well if you want to just go absolutely hog wild, but you know, a lot of times you don't need to. I think that this is a really actually just an awesome list. If you're not running Rex or a Republic secondary, I think ARFs with Vader is, I'm sorry, I think that Bar2 with Vader is so super good.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with it so far. It's been a lot of fun. You're basically going to heal the damage that Vader did to them off, or you might just decide to go full in on murder, because on their turn they can max out with 8 damage apiece, so you can kill anything if you get lucky enough.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's very cool. I love it. Super strong list. I ran a list that was almost identical when at the Toten Tricycle, but I had ARFs instead of Bar2, and we didn't have Bar2 at the time. I probably wouldn't have run them then, just because I didn't realize how good they'd be with Vader. But now I think going forward, if I'm not running Luke and I don't need Bar2 somewhere else, I will absolutely be running him with Vader if I'm running Vader 1. So my list was, I ran Luke Box, Dooku Box. And I guess I might as well talk about this now, because Dooku Box I love, obviously. Everyone loves the Dooku Box. Luke Box, I love Luke, and I like Bar2, although I think Bar2 is obviously way better with something like Vader. I was like back and forth on running Boosh, because I'm like, well, I should run OB2 is what I was really wanting to run there. But I'm like, well, OB2 is super good with Vader, and if I don't have Vader, OB2's attacks are just going to be way less consistent. You're hoping for one or two steps if you're lucky. You know, and then he's just there to be a mind trick battery, which is great because, you know, you've got the force for it. But I was like, well, Boosh has diceless displacement. I've played her enough, but not enough that I played her enough, but I thought, like, I have just not figured this character out. I haven't unlocked the character and have not been able to maximize her potential. So ultimately on the Slack, as we were talking about it, I thought, no, I'm going to take Boosh. So I brought her to this tournament, and I am just going to say that I understand that she has her fans and those people who think that she's really good or that she can perform really well. I don't think she's very good, and I'll talk about why later, but she was absolutely my consistently underperforming piece. Bar2, you know, you don't have Vader, and so their attacks are not great, but they've got element of surprise, and you know, before they get wounded, those extra 2 dice for 1 force is a cost you can pay and hope that you don't roll the 2 fails, which, you know, obviously happens. But then they're kind of getting wounded super fast anyway. They're not a very defensive unit. So They were awesome. Luke is just awesome. Luke is such a cool character in the Dooku box. We all know how good that is. Boosh was consistently my weakest piece and not able to do the things that we wanted her to be able to do. But I won't get too much into it. I'll more talk about it in the context of our matches. So, Curtis, who was your first opponent?
My first opponent was Tiffany.
Okay.
And she was playing Mother Maul.
How did your list fare into Mother Maul?
It did well. Mother Maul is obviously very powerful, very strong. Her dice were not her friend at a lot of moments where they really needed to be, and it helped swing things in my favor, but it was a very strong list. It was Maul with Gar and Supermandos.
Yep.
And then Mama Box. So it was just both of those boxes together.
Did you feel that Mama was tying you down with respect to being able to wound things, or were you able to position in a way that it didn't have much of an effect?
So in this match, Mama didn't have a lot of really great opportunities because I didn't do a lot of wounds early on. It was a lot of, well, like I said, her dice failed when they really needed to step up, and then Obi-2 just was constantly in the way of everything they were trying to do.
Yes.
So I kind of just sat on points and didn't kill things as much as just prevented her from killing things between bad dice and mind trick.
Yeah, I mean, because the cool thing about Vader Dooku is that list can absolutely do that. And you don't need to play the offensive game, right? Like, you can sit back with Dooku, Obi-2, protecting points, and make your opponent commit into you, which I love. I absolutely love. My first opponent was Cole. Cole was running Asajj Grievous, just droids. And Cole's dice were not super great, but what really happened was that, Luke was just an absolute monster and was able to, I did have during the day, I had Luke brick some attacks, even some like primary attacks, not to say anything about his profit attacks, but Luke, when he goes off, is just a monster. I mean, he's just like Anakin, right? In terms of being able to get these two attacks, he can get two units off of a point, which is so good, so strong. And I just love him. And Luke did very, very well this game, especially because if you're playing into droids, we know what droids are doing, right? Forward pressure, taking points, having lots of dice, having durable bodies, good out of activation movement. Dooku and Luke are so good because they're very defensive. In order to get them off of points, you're needing to do like he did have to use Asajj's force push in order to chuck Dooku off of a point. That's a lot of resources being committed, and you know that, and it's just very tough. These units are very tough to deal with. Even if you have Diceless Displacement, they're who you have to use your Diceless Displacement on, which doesn't feel awesome. So very, very good match. Very, very good matchup. Round two, we played each other. Curtis, tell me how you think this game went.
It went pretty good. We don't really have very many bad games between us.
Yeah.
Not that they don't happen, but I feel like, well, I mean, we were both running Dooku box, so
yep.
That's half of our lists already that are evenly matched.
Yep.
And Luke box matches up really well against Vader. Luke has the tools to take Vader down for sure, and Vader has the dice to take Luke down as well. So it was a very good back and forth battle.
Yeah, what happened was Curtis hard committed Vader to first activation. He wounded my Bartu, who had come up with Boosh's ability. So comes up, Vader does his crazy dive and one shots him. Luke then goes up and kills Vader, which was freaking awesome. So I killed him with the profit and attack. But then what happened was, and then we just kind of got into this grindy game. We each had four wounds apiece, and we got into this grindy game of placement and displacement. And I had Luke brick an attack, which felt super bad. But yes. What the thing that really killed me was I had forgotten about Bartu's what's the word? Mingle ability, their hide ability, where you can't make a range attack on them if they are in the order deck or reserve. And I had made this plan with Jango in order to swing this point, wound them, and do all the stuff, which I was not able to do because of that ability. And it put me in just this brutally difficult position. And Curtis was able to swing through that and win struggle one. And then I was just behind, right? Because I'd committed very hard to win struggle one. And I lost struggle two. mean, it was a scrum, but I mean, I was just behind the whole time.
It was that struggle one lasted what? It was over an hour.
I think it was actually like an hour and 15 minutes. I mean, it was incredibly long. And so what I did was I actually brought my phone and was using a chess clock in order to just like track players' time, which is what we're going to be doing at the ZyFi Invitational, just FYI, because I think it's a really clean way to just monitor. I mean, then you don't really have the pressure to go fast or to make your opponent go fast. Their time is their time. Let them do what they're going to do. And I looked after struggle one. Curtis, after struggle one is over, Curtis had like 16 minutes left and I had 22 or something. I mean, it was, struggle one. That's struggle one, right? So it was a really good game. But ultimately, I just was not able to overcome the offensive consistency that you were able to get with Dooku Vader. OB2 was obviously made for difficult decisions. And I mean, you were just able to out-efficiency me. It was a very, very good game. Okay, for struggle three, who'd you play?
In round three, this is when I played Justin.
Okay.
So we can get back to his list.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah, so it was a very good game. I had a lot of fun with it, and one thing that I noticed quite apparently is this is actually the opposite between me and you. You didn't want to run Boosh and wanted to run OB2. I ran OB2 and almost wish I would have had Boosh.
Really?
Just because I have more reps with Boosh, I don't play OB2 a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's no good reason why I absolutely should play him more than I do, but just not one of my favorites. And I could tell where Justin, he plays so much and he is such a good player. He has the reps on OB2. His OB2 was positioned very well in our game and made multiple very impactful moments where I just didn't have a good decision because he outplaced me 100% with his OB2 versus my OB2. And he does an amazing job with that.
Yeah.
I feel like my list was fine and his list was also very good. Mama put me in a lot of tough situations with how he was positioning her.
Yeah.
I would go to wound somebody and she can wound. It really shut down Bar 2D2 especially.
Why is that?
Because if I'm swinging those and I get two failures and he's exposed,
yes.
If I kill something with him, she can kill him very easily.
Great point.
That's one thing to be really careful with the Vader Bar 2 combo is it is very weak against Mama in general.
Yeah. I can totally see that. Man, I gotta play more Mama. She's such an awesome character.
She is so good. I don't play against her a whole lot,
yeah.
And I'm starting to realize I need to, because I definitely respect her a lot more after this tournament than I have in the past.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I mean, your game was super bloody. You both got 5 wounds, which is awesome. And so, but I mean, ultimately, was it just, and also he had all this diceless displacement, which deals with Dooku. And I just assume, you know, he was able to use all of that. And I mean, were there any big swing moments or things that you noticed from the game?
Like I said, I just could not swing points from him because he was set up so well. There were just a lot of, not really anything stands out as like a pivotal moment. It was just a very good play throughout. He didn't make any mistakes. And when I did, I got punished for him because he did not make mistakes. He's just a very good player.
Yeah. Justin is such a good player. So, and like,
this is the first time I've played him too. So now I understand what people say when he's a good player, which I know that he wins a lot of things, but
yeah.
Without actually playing him, it's easy to be like, ah, yeah, anybody's good. But I'm like, nope, he is very good.
Justin,
I have no doubt.
he's super good. I think Justin is our strongest local player. Very, very good, very tight play. So I will totally, totally second you on that. So my round three opponent was Abby Hansen. So Abby was running Mace, Pawns. And this was a very interesting game because we played on the Ewok Village. And for those of you who know how the Ewok Village works with, I think it's Imperial Terrain who has the file. They have these really cool wooden platforms that are these circular platforms with narrow bridges connecting them. So that, and there are very few ingress points going up. Which means that your mobility is really limited because a lot of those control points are up top. And in order to get there, you're going to have to climb, which is obviously going to really limit your movement. And so it just makes for very interesting, very different games. Very different games. And our game was, mostly it was, again, this was one where Boosh let me down big time. But I was able to, I mean, Luke was a monster. Dooku was a monster. My Django was a monster. Django was able to, I was able to not so fast and knock out one of Abby's activations. I was able to wound Plo with Luke when he was in his Gemso side. Plo was exposed from his defense, but I had the defensive. I feel like all of these games where I do well, it is a matter of Dooku and company are able to hold down, you know, a side of the board, and Luke is a monster. When Luke's dice are rolling well, he's just such an incredibly dynamic figure. He's able to swing lots of points, wound figures, and just do a lot, and he has a lot to deal with. And that's what I was able to do this game. We screwed something up where what happened was I had the momentum tracker one away from my last momentum marker. So it was right on the edge. It was Abby's activation. Abby wounded, I think, Django with Grievous. I'm not totally positive who it was, but someone was wounded. One of my secondaries was wounded. So then my Magna made an attack against a B2. I think it was a B2. And wounded the B2. So my thought was, well, I am going to get this momentum marker. It's going to go on the momentum struggle. Like, it should be over, and I would win. But Abby said, no, I think we checked for it at the end of my turn, and Patrick, who was TOing, confirmed that. And I didn't know. I was like, I really don't actually know how this works. So that was how we ruled it, was that we didn't check until the end. So it should have been pretty quick. And the reason why I'm bringing that out is because Abby was able to win struggle two, and then it became this incredibly grindy struggle three. I mean, we almost went to time. It just became a very, very, very tight game. And so, I mean, Mace is a defensive monster. Pawns is bad. Arfs are great. Plo is good. Wolfpack and Wolf with the ability to prevent turning of crits is so very, very good against Dooku, right? Because I've got Dooku's ability is, you know, you're turning crits to fails. So Wolfpack and Wolf gunning into him, I mean, you're not going to be able to wound Dooku. You can, but it's still going to take a lot of resources. But it just makes things a lot more difficult. Boosh and Bartu both have the ability to turn crits, and that turns off. So very, very cool list. Not a ton of offensive capability, but just very consistent offense. And then obviously Abby used Plo in order to yeet Luke out when she needed to deal with him, which I think was the correct play. So again, Dooku and Luke were able to get things done. Boosh super let me down. I mean, and now here's the time where I'm going to talk about why I don't think Boosh is very good, Curtis. And I'll be interested in your thoughts because you've played her. I've played her less than 10 times, probably played her 5 or 6 times. So let me just say, here's my problem. Her diceless displacement, she's super inconsistent. Her diceless displacement is 2 force, and what it's called is called low blow. Choose a character in this unit and an enemy character it is engaged with. Push the enemy character 2 away from the chosen ally character, then push the chosen ally character 2 towards the chosen enemy character. After all units' moves are resolved, this character may make a focus action. Now, this can allow for some extremely dynamic plays and some very cool plays, where you can push someone 2 spaces away, push 2 either into a box or into another unit so you don't actually have to move, and then, you know, you perform the focus and you make your attack. Here is the problem. Boosh's melee expertise is terrible. It is not good. She is at 1, she is getting 1 damage. At 2 to 3, she's getting a strike and a damage, and at 4 plus, she's getting a crit and a damage. Her ranged expertise is slightly better, but still not awesome. 1 to 2 is getting you a crit, 3 is getting you a crit and a damage, 4 plus is getting you 2 crits and a damage, okay? So her attacks are generally pretty low, and her base dice is 6. So if you're rolling 7 dice, you are hoping to be able to get 2 steps. If you are in melee, you're even unlikely to get that. So the problem is with low blow, you are pushing a unit, and if you don't have the chance to push yourself into something that's going to block her, you are then being required to make a melee attack, which is your worst side. And you are also like having to set this up in a way where you haven't put yourself out, you pushed yourself away from the point that you're trying to take, right? Because if low blow was a May, this ability would be a million times better. But with it making it be the case that you have to follow, you're more likely to be in melee range, which is not good. You have to be very careful with being able to control the point, and her attacks are so extremely inconsistent. And so then you're thinking, well, I've got to use Fearless and Inventive. Okay, so now we're talking about spending 3 force to get a focus, a few additional dice, and then diceless displacement that you have to be very careful about how you position. She just strikes me as a very inconsistent piece. And her defense, her defensive expertise is not good. She's got 1-2, gets 1. 3+ gets her a block and a crit to a fail. I mean, that's fine, but not. She melts quite quickly. So I felt this was the game where I was like, I'm done with Boosh. I just could never get her to do the thing that she needed to do. She's sucking up a ton of force and not giving you the kind of benefit that you need. Like if low blow, you know, she had force push or something, that'd be way better, right? But just being what it is, I was extremely unimpressed. So with that being the case, Curtis, what do you think? Am I just totally wrong?
So I can't argue anything that you said because they are all very valid points. And I unfortunately am at a disadvantage on this question because now that I'm looking back on it, I have run Boosh many, many times and been fairly happy. But I've also never not been looking at her under the Vader lens because yeah. I've ran her with Vader Dooku and I have run her with Vader Cad. And all of those situations, I mean, anything looks good with 3 extra Vader dice on it. Yeah. So I can see all of your arguments and I wouldn't argue it. And to be quite honest, the more I look at her, I probably would not be running her in a list that does not have Vader for that reason.
Yeah.
I haven't yet. And now I have no desire to.
Yeah. And then, and so then I think you're right. And I think the problem is if you're running with Vader, you're taking 2 damage in order to roll 3 extra dice. And now she's at 7 health, which is just, so 9 health is good, right? That's awesome. That's a break point. It's hard to get 9 damage. 7 is a lot easier. And so the question is, are you able to get the kind of disproportionate payoff from her ability that makes the damage and her likely being pretty easily wounded worth it? And maybe yes, right? I mean, if you've got low, I mean, if she's running with, if you're running Vader, Dooku, then now if they're going to wound her, they're going to be sad pandas and she's getting additional dice. And so I can see that. I just think that there are better things to do. Like I was honestly so disappointed in her that it made me sour playing Luke, because if I'm now going to run Luke, then I'm going to have to run Obi-2, and Obi-2 doesn't go as well with Luke. I mean, he's fine, but it's just, you're losing a lot with Obi-2 not having access to Vader dice in terms of his offensive consistency. So I just felt like, oh man. And I'm happy to be, I would love to be proven wrong, but I have just, in the games I've played with her and against her, I have never seen her, you know, be this absolute all-star. Yes, she can do some cool things, right? You can low blow, push somebody, and you can block yourself so that you're not going away. And then you can take a range shot on somebody else and push them away, right? So she can swing, she can move 2 figures and all that, but it requires a ton of setup and just does not seem nearly as consistent, I guess. And the whole reason we use diceless displacement is for consistency. Like that's all we're using diceless displacement for, is to guarantee that we can do this thing that we need to do in order to swing points. And she doesn't strike me as consistent. So
I will say, I do have great news for you, Kenny.
What?
We have 4 new sets coming out in the next month.
Yes.
So you have plenty of options that are not Boosh to put with your Luke there.
Yes.
And yeah. So yeah, thankfully you won't have to wait for too long to find another alternative.
And what's wild is I'm legitimately going to run Luke with Stormtroopers just because that's who can run with him right now. And they have access to some diceless displacement. And I might be, it's like, well, why not just run Vader 1 or Vader 2? Or Vader 2, I guess, is probably the better choice with them. I'm like, I just want to try these guys. I just want to play Luke. And I want to play Luke with other things. I've played him with a lot of different primaries. And I felt kind of boxed in, obviously, in terms of his secondaries and supports. And so I just want to play him with more things and see if the fact that these Stormtroopers, who have their own kind of internal synergy, can do enough in order to make up for it. So sorry for the rant. If you love Boosh, you have my sympathy, I guess. But but that's it. That's all I got for Boosh. That was round 3. So final take or round 4, Curtis, who are you playing?
Round 4, I played against Pierce.
Oh, I love Pierce.
And he had a very interesting list. He was running the Cad box as is with Cad, Aura, and Bounty Hunters. And his other list was Maul, Super Commandos, and Jango Fett is the other one.
Yeah, seems good.
Yeah, seems. It was a really good game. I decided to try something that I haven't tried a whole lot. There was multiple units that I just left with low health and thought that I would just leave him up for Jango. And we lost the first struggle due to not wounding people and trying to leave them up.
Yeah.
Our second struggle was really good. Django got to not so fast and then two people's activations, but all overall, that just wasn't enough, and he got the struggle from me, and 1-2-0, it was a really good game. Aura, actually, is the unit I would like to highlight, because I have been very low on Aura. I only played her in one game before I gave up on her, but she did really well in our game.
Really? It says here on Longshanks that you went 2-1. Is that not right?
I lied. We did go 2-1. Yep, I did win that struggle, and then the third one was in Mission Critical, and it went by really. The not-so-fasting him twice was enough to win Struggle 2, and then Struggle 3 was pretty quick with the overtime rules.
Oh, yeah.
Mission Critical, that's what it
was. Didn't you say that you had, like, the chance to win, but you just had missed something in terms of either a figure that was up or something like that?
Yes, so Cad was his last card that was in reserve, and I took a Vader, and I went and I killed his Cad, and then his Cad activated, went to go punch Vader back, and it got not so fasted. So his turn for Cad was about 15, 30 seconds long, just a really fast turn.
Yeah.
And in that process, I did not think in my head, oh, Cad's back alive again and on this point with Vader. So my math numbers were a little off, and I shot myself in the foot there because I don't know how to count, because I'm like, oh, yes, even though he did absolutely nothing because he just focused, punched, got mind tricked, and had no other target, he did come back alive, and I didn't attack the other injured person on that point and attacked someone else instead because I did not see the numbers, which is, you know, something that happens. I made a play error, and he capitalized on it. He got his Django in there the next turn and took the game. It was a very close game throughout, but if there was a key pivotal moment, I would say that was it.
Yeah, I mean, it was round four, the end of a long day, and so I can, and you guys were at the end of a long mission, so I can totally get that.
Oh yeah, but he played very solid.
Yeah,
he's played Bounty Hunters a lot, I can tell, because he was doing some shenanigans with Aura that were pretty fun to see.
Gosh, that's awesome. And Pierce is such a cool guy. I know Pierce, he used to work at Demo, and he's so good at helping build communities. Just a very strong player, very good guy. So I'm glad you guys had such a good match. I played Joe, and Joe was running straight Ewoks. I will just say, it was kind of a joke at the end of our game, but I, like, the Ewoks, their naming convention is just bizarre to me. I mean, it's Logray, it's Chirpa, it's Poplu, it's Wicket. And I'm like, I don't know who your primaries are. I don't know who your secondaries are. They all look the same on the board. You've got these two different sets of Ewok hunters and trappers who all look the same. And I'm just like, so, like, it was kind of funny because we were playing this game and I'm like, I kept getting Poplu and Wicket, or maybe it was Chirpa and Wicket. I kept getting them confused. Because, again, like, these models, I'm like, they're just little, like, murder bears. I cannot tell who they are. So I'm like, I'm attacking that one. And Joe's like, what's his name? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I'll attack, you know, so I was like, I'll attack that rat. And he's like, how could you say that? So it was wild. I mean, Ewok's gonna Ewok. And I'm super glad that he was running full Ewoks and not Leia. Because if he would have been running Leia with her exposed, I would have been absolutely toasted. Ewoks are very interesting. So I was able to win. It was 2-1. And I will say that Ewoks, woo boy, if you get behind against them, you are in trouble. Because they can swarm the board when they're wounding you. They're doing all these crazy and different things. And I could just feel the heat the entire game. Luke bricked an attack into his Ewok scouts. Like, hard bricked an attack into his Ewok scouts. I just needed, I think, like, one success, maybe two successes in order to get a wound, and failed to. And at that point, I actually thought I had lost the game. Because I'm like, Luke was, I'd made this particular play. I'd, you know, wounded something, I think, with a prophet attack. I can't remember exactly how it worked out. But I went to make this attack and straight up bricked. And I was like, well, that was kind of it. Because what the game was it was Dooku, Jango, and Magnus on one side of the board. Luke on the other side of the board. Luke was soloing like three or four of his units, while Dooku and Jango and Magnus were kind of handling everyone else. Jango didn't do a ton because he got wounded super fast and the freaking Ewok trap ability. So Jango's on this back point, and he's, you know, just taking pot shots, pulling people away when necessary. But what they were, but what Joe was able to do was with that freaking Ewok trap card. He attacks Jango, does a few little bit of damage, and then he pulls his trap card twice and gets Jango up. So Jango's at 8 damage. He's pinned. He's bleeding. Right. I mean, he is just absolutely in the worst way, and he's only attacked him one time. The rest was just he got 2 hits on his trap ability. It was very interesting to see that kind of in motion. Obviously, Dooku and Magnus were able to do their thing. I mean, this was a pretty bloody game. I had 6 wounds. I wounded 6 of his figures, and Joe wounded 5 of mine. But it actually didn't feel that way. It felt a lot more just like the grindy attrition in the take a point way, rather than smack and kill somebody, smack and kill somebody. It was a long game. We went to mission critical, and I was able to win. Just, you know, it went to mission critical. I think I was literally about to finish my turn. I had no idea even what the time was, and then Joe announces it's mission critical, and the spot is it's on my thing. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm just gonna win. But wow, it was really interesting playing Ewoks. Obviously, I haven't bought the Ewok box, and I'm not super interested in doing so. But I think that Leia there instead of Chirpa, I guess, if that's the other primary. I think Low Gray is awesome. Like, Low Gray's abilities are very cool. But I think Leia there, in order to give that expose, according to Fire Expose, seems very, very good. I think you can do a ton of damage with her if that is the or with the Ewoks if that's the case. So, Curtis, have you played against the Ewoks yet?
I have not. That's actually one thing. I caught the tail end of your game and I was like, oh man, this looks like fun.
Yeah.
I had no interest. I haven't picked them up myself either, so I have not played or played against them. But they are definitely going to be on my list before too long, because they look like a ton of
fun. Yeah. I think it's a very fun list to play. It is a very stressful list to play against, because they did a great job of just making them feel like they're hitting out of, you know, camouflage, got these traps that are going off. It's just putting a lot of pressure on the board kind of everywhere. So very... hats off again to AMG. AMG has just been knocking out of the park with these recent designs. And even though the Ewoks are not my playstyle, seem very good, very, very strong. So that was it. Like we said, the tournament. So Justin went 4-0 with his Mom and Maul list with all the diceless displacement. Taylor, Pierce, and I went 3-1. And then I it's super interesting, Curtis, because I mean, but for that like one small thing, then we would have been 3-1, right? Which I would have felt super great about. But it was a very, very good tournament. Excellent players all around. Super interesting lists. I mean, there's 3 Dookus. Is that right? 3 Dookus. 4 Dookus. Sorry. There are 4 Dookus, 4 Mauls, 1 Vader 1, 1 Vader 2. So just lots of cool things were being played. People were trying out, I think, some different combinations of things. Curtis, with this being the case, did this change how you're going to list build for the Zi-Fi Invitational or for this tournament that's happening at Mythos? I mean, what do you want to run?
A lot of that's going to depend on when we get releases, if there's any delays, because I've been starting to play with some of the new stuff on TTS. Actually, after this tournament, I got a game with Sam in on TTS as soon as I got home. So I played 5 games of Shatterpoint yesterday.
That's wild.
And with everything that's coming out, there is some really awesome stuff. I mean, I'm sure you guys are going to do episodes on all that later. Yeah. With all the different units and stuff coming out, but I can just say I am really excited for what's coming out next month.
Yeah.
Saw multiple different units and they were a lot of fun, and I'm ready to get them on the table.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I am definitely going to be running Mando. I don't know how he fits in terms of a premier list, like if you just run the Mando box or if you break it apart in order to run, I don't know, Mando with Mandos, right, and Maul or something, and kind of how that works out. But the Mandalorian, he's going to be, seems like a very strong character. Very strong.
He's awesome. He's very strong. He's all over the map. He's mobile. He's hard to deal with. He has been a pain in my butt.
Yeah.
The one time I played against him. So yeah. I am very excited to see him.
Yeah. He's really good. He'll be so fun. Gosh, it's going to be super fun to see him. Because again, he's this, for those of us who like to play these reactive characters where after your opponent wounds one of your characters, you can do a thing. He's got that. And it's obviously different. It's different from, so his ability is, this is the way: when an enemy character wounds another allied unit, after the another allied unit, so important to know, that is not him, after the effect is resolved, one character in this unit may heal 2 and may then reposition. Then each allied bounty hunter, Mandalorian, and scoundrel within four may remove one condition from itself and then may gain a hunger. Right? So, you know, it's like Lumi's ability, but he gets a reposition and a heal off of it. So it's, I don't know. It's, I think he's going to be very, very awesome. And his attack, his stance cards are just so cool, so fun. So I am absolutely going to be playing Mando at Zi-Fi, assuming he releases on time. And the question is going to be, how do we build around him? So
I absolutely will be as well, no doubt. I think the greatest thing about the Mando box is because he's so versatile. You can run him. He's got so many options. You'll probably see a ton of Mandos at that Zi-Fi tournament, but he might have a different pairing for every single list that you run into.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's totally right. I mean, he has most synergy with bounty hunters, Mandalorians, and scoundrels, but that's a lot of units, right? Like, that's just a lot. Maul's a scoundrel, right? I'm almost positive that that is the case.
Yep, Maul is a scoundrel.
Maul's a scoundrel, right? You can
so is Gar in the Supes as well.
Gar in the Supes, right? So you've got that. I mean, Cad, obviously, you can run in with Cad. There's just going to be some real, I mean, Mandalorian plus Jango plus Supes or something. I don't know. Like, I think you could just see some really, real cool lists being played with him. So,
yes. Which I lied. Gar and Supes are not scoundrels, but they're Mandalorians.
But they're Mandalorians.
So they still benefit from his ability.
Exactly. Exactly right. Yeah. So I will say that my takeaway from this is that I love Luke. Luke is right now, he's my most favorite figure to play. So much fun to play, but I am really struggling with him in terms of list building because his list building options are super limited and I don't like Boosh. So I would love it to be able to run Luke with something else, or maybe I just bite the bullet and run him with Obi-2 and then figure out how I'm going to make it work. But I will say that as of now, like I at least got to leave Boosh aside for a little bit because I just did not enjoy her character.
And so, I think that might change with some new units coming out, especially with everything that's being spoiled. I think the current problem we run into is if you're playing Rebel Alliance with the current, what we have out, your only option is Leia Ewoks, which has nothing to do with Luke.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can run that list, but it's like, nah, that's, I mean, I think they're about, I think low gray with Ewoks is obviously better than Luke with Ewoks. At least that's my assessment, right, in terms of what
you can do it. That doesn't mean it's right.
Exactly.
You can do it.
Exactly right. So anyway, we'll see how things go as we will do a list building for Zi-Fi as we're getting closer, as we hopefully as these new boxes are released and we're able to play with them and make it an early decision with respect to what we think their power level is. We'll do that later. So, okay. Well, that's what we've got for this episode. We want to thank everybody for listening. Again, we encourage you, if you are wanting to attend the Zi-Fi Invitational, go to the Longshanks link, sign up, do it if you're planning to attend. Don't do it as a placeholder. It's going to be a ton of fun. Let us know if you have any questions or concerns. Join the Slack, rate and review the podcast, do all of those things, and that's it. Everyone have an awesome week.